This week's episode of the Chat Wheel is brought to you by CyberPower PC, www.cyberpowerpc.com. If you need a new computer, you should definitely go there, because Greg has a great computer, I hear. I hate him.
Welcome.
Oh, man. I'm excited. Welcome to the Chat Wheel, everybody. It is January 5th, 2014. I'm your host, Darius. And, man, we have a good show for you today, tonight, this morning, wherever you are, really. Let's start with the introductions. With me, as always, is Greg Woodiship-Laird.
Good evening, slash good morning, if you are in Korea. Only one of us, but...
You never know.
I'm excited for the show. We didn't have a show last week because it was the holidays and things were broken and life is hard, but...
Fire hip.
We're back for another week, and hopefully we have an exciting show for everyone.
Mason, what is Way Dota, Ciotti?
Man, really? First show of the new year and you're already going to fuck me over. Is that
pretty
how
much.
We're really going to start this?
Way right. Dota, White Elephant Hills, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. I'm pretty darn good. How are you?
They said fine. And the person you're here to see, I'm sure, Kevin Purge Godek. How are you doing, Purge?
I am doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
So you're in. You're in the NSL.
I'm in.
How were the games? How were the games for the first your first foray into Korean Dota?
We've played probably 15 scrims so far. But those are our first official competitive matches, and they were both easy, pretty much. So,
what were the scores like? Were they like not close?
Not really. Like it always looks close in the beginning. I can pull Dota up here and tell you exactly what they were. But basically, even if our early game is a little weak, we always just clutch a lot of team fights and we get advantage that way. Plus, we don't make as many mistakes. So. We have a lot of things to refine, but they were pretty one-sided. So,
are you stuck playing on the Korean servers, or can you go outside of Korea right now?
We can play C. That's usually what we play when we pub, because the people that queue Korea, their MMR isn't very high, so it's actually very difficult to find games on the Korean servers. Mm. So we just play on the C servers, and it works fine. So pretty much no nice. Ping delay or anything. It just felt like playing US. I didn't notice any delays at all.
All right. Why don't you give us a little overview of what you're doing in Korea and the team, etc., for anyone who lives under a rock?
Okay. As you guys may know, if you don't know who Bliss is, he's a friend of mine. He's a pretty popular Dota 2 streamer, and he decided to move to Korea to join a Korean pro team with hopes of winning NSL Season 2. As they got there, Demon was organized to go about a week before, and then the team that Demon joined ended up knocking them out in the first week, and immediately afterwards. Blitz's team disbanded. So this was early December, and at that point I had talked to Will, and I kind of had been stagnating for a bit for a couple months, and I felt like doing something new. So I talked to Aosin, one of our other friends, and I was like, I think we should go to Korea and join Will's team and just crap on Febby, because I was really mad at Febby at the time because he kind of screwed Will over pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then I talked to Will about it, and he was like, all right, let's start planning. And ever since then, which was early December, like the 5th of December, we've been like nonstop planning how to get here. So you have to realize that like December 12th or December 4th, I had no idea that this would happen. But the next day we just started working on it, and it took a lot of work. But finally we organized everything, and here we are. So.
It's a pretty short time span.
Yeah. It may not seem like it to you guys, but I promise, like, most of those days, we would sit on Skype for, like, 6 to 8 hours organizing things and planning things and talking to people and getting these little tasks done and stuff like that. And just figuring out logistics and things. Like, it was kind of difficult just to figure out how exactly to rent a place or what's reasonable or where to go or how to register or everything. How much everything was going to cost was very important as well. So.
Yeah.
Was it tough to sort of, like, get everybody sold on the idea of moving to Korea for a bit to do this, or was that the easy part?
Steven and I were pretty sold on it. In fact, Steven kind of asked Will about going the first time that Will left. He said, is there a chance that I could come? And Will said there wasn't. The team that he was on didn't want any non-Korean speakers. are some people who don't speak Korean, basically. I think they communicated in Korean, even though some of them spoke English as well. So at that point, it wasn't a possibility, but me and Steven were signed out immediately. And then we had two people on the docket who ended up not working out for different reasons. So it wasn't perfect for everybody. So the five that we have weren't necessarily like the first people we talked to, but we're really happy with everybody.
Tell us a little bit about Corey, because he's probably one of the few that people don't know very well.
He's not even on camera anymore. He usually sits like right here, so you can almost always see him.
He got scared, left.
Yeah, before we got here, he had about 160 followers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So if you guys don't understand, he was definitely very new to the scene. But I believe he's only been playing Dota 2 for like 7 months.
Holy shit.
What?
Yeah. Man, so if you feel like feeling bad wrong. About yourself, just...
Man,
keep no, I feel like yourself.
Shit now.
All right, guys, really good. I do. I feel bad. You know, he's better than me by far.
So. I'm done.
super good player. He plays in NEL, I believe, which is the North American Elite League, I believe. So it's like IXDL for North America, and I believe he was top 10 ranked.
Yep.
So very talented player. That's I didn't know about him. I played like two games with him, like 3 weeks leading up to Korea, but before that moment, I didn't know who he was. But I could tell just by playing against him that he was very good.
So, How'd that conversation go with his family? Like, hey guys, so playing a game for 7 months, going to Korea.
I think he was playing competitive StarCraft 2 previous to that, is what I've been told. I don't know how good he was, but I don't think he was quite pro level, but I think he was maybe close, I would assume. So I believe he'd been playing competitive games a long time. I'm sure like everybody that gets to the skill level is like really into competitive gaming, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was something similar. But I mean, his parents let him go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he used to play Han.
Really?
Han
okay.
player, yeah.
That might explain why he's still really good. Mm-hmm.
We have some questions from Reddit that we took, and some of these are our own that we just came up with.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, the Korean scene's still developing.
Uh-huh.
And you guys kind of have an advantage at the moment compared to the other Korean teams. How long do you think realistically you have until they start catching up with you? Until they actually become more of a threat if you don't think they are already?
Honestly, I thought they would be a lot worse than they are. Will said a similar thing. He thought he would be able to just basically show up and win every game single-handedly, more or less. But once he finally got here and played against them, it's pretty easy to tell that their individual skill is actually really good. And they're improving a lot. I mean, there's not a ton of really good players, but there are some that you can tell definitely know how to play their roles and their heroes, and they're definitely good at Dota. It's just they have maybe not the best decision-making. So it's only a matter of time, basically. Like, some of the other teams, they're not necessarily as mechanically skilled as some of our best players, but they're definitely close enough to a point where teamwork is way more important. So this means that with enough practice, they could definitely get as good as us or better within a couple months, I'm guessing. I don't really know because I haven't played that much competitive, but I think we could have at least 2 to 3 months of being probably the best team.
My understanding is it's not really a technical skill thing. It's more, it's just decision-making mostly and lack of experience.
Yeah. Yeah, because they've only played for so long. Like, think about how Dota works. Like, you have a team fight, and you see all these heroes, and you have to make, like, split-second decisions. And if you make the wrong split-second decision, you could lose the fight, or you'd lose a slight advantage in the fight, or maybe your spells wouldn't do quite as much damage, or maybe you'd waste, like, a disable on a lifestealer, and he'd rage it off or something. Like, little mistakes like that really add up quickly, like, if you don't focus on somebody. So, like, if you lose a team fight, that could have implications for the whole game. So a lot of the games that we've been winning, it'll just be something, some like one person will do something, maybe not extremely stupid, but like a little stupid, and then we'd kill them, and then we'd win a team fight, and then we'd take towers, and then our advantage is ridiculous, and since we're already better than them in terms of decision-making and execution, then the game's completely done at that point. So it's like there's all these little holes and problems and things that they make sometimes. Not to mention that we still have better laners than them, so... That's kind of how it goes. There's like we have a lot of advantages right now.
Figure what? A couple months until we actually start catching up?
Yeah, I think we have a few months. It's hard. It's really hard to tell because we do see a lot of talent in a lot of the players. But it's I don't know. We've only scrimmed against like four teams so far. I think. I think StarTale is on a break right now, and we haven't played against maybe one of the MVP teams. We played against 5NQ, and they show a lot of promise. I think. But yeah.
And so the house is from Blitz's family, correct? His aunt, uncle?
Yes, it's his uncle's place. They moved out of their house. They, I think their children all moved away, so they wanted to move into someplace smaller.
Yeah, it's huge. So, it's a giant, yeah. Especially yeah, for, like, really nice. For Korea. It's very large.
Yeah, we're really happy with it. It's really great. We all have our own rooms. It's kind of cold, and apparently heating is really expensive, so we've kind of just been, which is why I have my hoodie on, because it's honestly really cold. Like, the first couple nights, I had 2 blankets. It wasn't enough. 4 blankets is the magic number. It took 4 blankets to not be, like, freezing in the middle of the night. And it's not that cold outside. It's maybe, like, 20 degrees or something, which is warmer than Wisconsin was, where I just was, but it's still pretty cold. And if there isn't much heating, we have a lot of patios, there's a lot of glass everywhere, and it doesn't retain a ton of heat. So
once the warm weather kicks in, though, gonna be a party.
Yeah, we hear it's really humid in the summers, so be looking forward to sweating.
Is everyone planning on staying there at least 6 months, or what's the idea of a time frame?
It's kind of a play by ear thing, but at least 6 months, yeah. So we'll be here for a while.
Cool. So from Reddit, Simco_ asked, do you intend to help the Korean players scene while they're there, while you're there? If so, how?
In some ways, like, I don't necessarily speak for everyone on my team, but, I don't know. We played the Korean IXDL this morning. That's kind of fun. It's kind of, I just like making friends with them because it's, doesn't feel as like unassuming, and like I don't have to stress as much. Like if I play regular IXDL, I have to worry because I'm like way worse than the top players, so it's always very scary to play. But if I'm playing against the Koreans, then they're around my skill level, and it doesn't frustrate me or just like make me as scared, so I'm like more willing to be open and friendly and stuff like that. So I don't know, I'm just liking the socialization aspect, and I'm sure that that'll translate to being nice and like helping them learn better. But we don't really want to power level them because that could drastically affect our earnings as tournament winners. So I'm sure we'll help a moderate amount, and it'll probably come down to friendships more than anything else. But I don't know. It's hard to say. But we don't really – we want to keep everything on lockdown if possible. So we don't really want to release our – we don't really have a strategy yet, but we don't really want to tell them everything, I guess.
So have the Korean – players and teams been pretty receptive of your guys coming and playing with them in the sponsorship league, or are you guys still sort of seen as, you know, the foreigners to their scene?
It's hard to say. We haven't really been here long enough to know completely, but from what some people are reading, some of the Korean players and fans are open to it, and some of them are maybe angry about it, which I can understand because it doesn't completely seem fair, I guess, but it happens in all of the other games and vice versa, like Koreans going other places and winning, or foreigners, and I don't know. I think it's fairly fair. Like, it's not like we took the best team in the world and moved to Korea. You know, we're definitely beatable if better players, or if they train harder or something like that. So I don't know. They seem receptive. The organizations are happy with it, I think. So
I can see them being pissed off, though. I mean, they start this league and it's like, hey guys, we're from the West. We're all pretty good. Are you doing?
But they do the same thing in StarCraft, so...
That's true.
but even still, it's not like we're just showing up and taking the cash and running away. Like, Demon basically did that, which is, I understand, like, he's one of the 5 players or whatever, but I don't, we're going to stay for a while. Like, it's not like we're just going to show up and ditch. I mean, even staying for a year, I think, is a pretty decent investment, considering we'll be living here permanently during that time, with maybe, like, a vacation once in a while. I don't know. I don't really think it's unfair, because, I mean... At the very minimum, we're bringing tons of eyes on the leagues. Like, the last tournament I watched, or the last stream from the Korean leagues, I like watching the Korean stream because they have more in-room shots, so they have more shots at players and stuff. They only had, like, 200 viewers on Twitch TV, and the production value is, like, the best production value in all of Dota 2.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, we're definitely going to bring a lot more viewers, so I think it'll be good. They'll get more viewers overall. Maybe more people buy subs to them, and I don't know. I don't know. It's good. It's good for the fan base, at least. The fan base will watch their games a lot more because we're here. So, at the very least, there's that.
By being there for 6 months, I mean, that's an eternity of esports time. You know, you're very much time. You'll become, at least as time goes on, very much a part of the Korean scene rather than necessarily the guys from the West who came and conquered. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's already a ton of foreign players here. Honestly, it's hard to tell because some of them are Korean by. Nationality, but there's actually a lot of Korean Americans that are already playing in the tournament. Like Will, for example, there's a lot of people like Will. Like March is a Korean American, if I'm not mistaken. Tenbird is on StarTail. They won season 1, I think. Mm-hmm. He's Canadian, I found out. Like there's a lot of people that aren't all Koreans that are playing and winning and stuff. So it's not like we're the first. And people are flying over. Annihilate, I believe, played in the last season. And I don't know where he's from, but he's white. So I assume he's not from Korea. So I don't know. There's lots of foreigners that are already playing. It's not like we're the first ones. There's plenty.
Yeah. What is your plan for the future? You have any idea yet? Are you wanting to be a complete 100% pro gamer, or are you
personally
planning on
just for me? I still kind of like the idea of doing whatever I feel like doing, which is definitely what I'm accomplishing right now. Playing is a lot more fun than casting, I think. So if I can make it financially sufficient, I think it's pretty fun. And at the moment, I don't have as much competition personally. Like, being a top tier caster is a lot of work, and it's a lot of busy work sometimes as well. So, but playing, like, I get to go to Korea. Like, I just live with a bunch of really awesome people, and we get to play games all day, and I get to get better at what I do in the first place, which is, like, make VODs and things. So I still plan to make YouTube videos constantly, and we're going to stream a lot more on Twitch now. Everybody's going to stream. It's, like, the same thing. It's just it's, like, a slight alteration of my stuff. And it's not like I've really casted anything for the last year anyways. I've done, like, a few things here or there, but really not much anyway. So I don't think moving to Korea is going to impact the work that I do that much. But I would like to cast a little bit. Maybe if the Korean studios want us to do an English cast once in a while, I'd be down with Will. That'd be fun.
Nice. I think we got time for one more question, because we're trying to spend about 20 minutes on it. So,
okay,
we'll go with, how do you feel about Earth Spirit?
I don't know. Everybody says he's overpowered, and he seems overpowered when a good player plays him. He's beatable. He is just frustrating. I think the early laning stage is the most frustrating, when he does a ton of damage and, like, utility those first couple levels. And late game, I don't think he's that overpowered, but in the early laning stage, when he hits level 3 at least, then he's very annoying to play against. But I don't know. I haven't actually played that many pubs in the last month, so I guess I've missed a lot of the brunt of anger that most players are feeling. So
the rage when the enemy team picks Earth Spirit's most frustrating shit ever.
Every game.
Oh, I probably played less than, like, 30 pubs in December, so maybe.
Head Heroes, infuriating to play against.
So see, guys, all we have to do is become professional, and
have to play against Earth Spirit again. Perfect.
Yeah. Just only play Captain's Mode ever again.
That's pretty much what I do now. I just only play CD and CM, then I don't really have to deal with that hero.
And every time someone in your team picks Earth Spirit, they'll inexplicably be terrible at it.
Yeah.
Well, every time the enemy team is just phenomenal. Yeah. Just challenging you all day, every day. Sucks ass.
Like, so, someone on my team picks Earth Spirit, I expect them to, like, kick the stone into the fountain and just, like, okay, well, good job.
Suicide in jungle.
So.
All right, so we're going to move on to some topics here. We'll touch base on them. So, Star Ladder. Purge, you've been following the delicious popcorn drama going on recently?
I haven't actually. I missed almost all of it.
All right, then this is exciting for you. Probably not. So Super Strong Dinosaurs kind of dissolved, disbanded during SL, Star Ladder. And their match against Rock Kiss, they used two stand-ins of Pilai, Dai, and Bone 7. And they wanted to use Sing Sing as a third stand-in, but Rock Kiss said no because it was a match that mattered. And Star Ladder has a rule that I'll talk about in a second. So they said no, Rock's Kiss lost, and SSD went forward. And then afterwards they faced Alliance to a match that really didn't matter, and Alliance agreed to let Sing play. Now, mind you, I should mention something. The person that had play that wasn't a stand-in when they said no to Sing Sing was Zai, who was already on their roster, which was weird to me, because you have somebody that's on your roster and you want to put a stand-in in, even though you have somebody that can actually play it. Mm-hmm. So the next game, Alliance said, sure, bring Sing Sing in. So we had three stand-ins. Now, the rules for Star Ladder says, and excuse the English here, in SLTV Star Series, in Discipline Dota 2, take part teams.
Oh, my God. Did you use Google Translate for this?
Yes.
Jesus. Maybe. Okay, just paraphrase.
Basically, it says you can have five players, you can have two reserve players that can play, and you can only use stand-ins, basically. All right? So they use three stand-ins, and I guess the question is, even though Alliance was okay with it, should they have let this match happen when they didn't have the proper amount of team members?
Well, I think the bigger problem with this was that Super Strong Dinosaurs wanted to even though they disbanded, they were going to continue playing because they did not have a shot at the playoffs. The record just wouldn't allow it. And the chance of their matches counting for anything in the standings were, you know, like one in a million. It was a very low chance that they were going to significantly impact anything. Mm-hmm. But the problem was that one in a million chance happened. Because there was some situation by beating Rock's Kiss, and then if Fnatic lost or something like that, or Fnatic won, then Rock's Kiss wouldn't make it to the LAN finals. And so they were theoretically being knocked out of the LAN finals in Kiev by a team that didn't even exist that was using three stand-ins.
Of the same team. It's like three-fifths.
They had a substitute in the team.
Two stand-ins of a professional team and a reserve player that's not really on the team because the team doesn't exist anymore.
I don't know. It seems to me like if you disband, then you should just get all... Like, it used to be that if you disbanded, you would get, like, death losses for the rest of the rest of the games. And I think they wanted to stay because it matters for, like, the next season or something.
Yeah, because the organizers wanted people to be able to watch the games because they paid for the ticket, and people would be pretty pissed if they missed out on so many games in the round-robin stage. And because if they wanted to qualify for next season, then getting death losses would pretty much knock them out of that.
Should they have let them actually play, though, as
no.
in Starland?
No, as soon as you disband... I mean, they basically disbanded. As soon as you disband, you should just get losses for the rest of the league.
Yeah, I think, as shitty as that might sound, I think that's the way you got to do it. You're not a team anymore. You're not in the league. You can't compete in the hopes of your team coming back next time.
Yeah.
Any idea of what you feel, Purge?
Did you guys read Come With Me's statement?
No.
No.
So he said that Zai was already basically disbanded. He was available to play, but he didn't want to. So that's why they're getting a stand-in, which I understand. Like, when teams are disbanding, everybody's like, nope, I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to play a pub, or I'm going to do something for me. So they got him to play, and then the other... And Roxkiss doubted that it was actually him, because they were like, why isn't he playing if he's sitting there? So it just sounded like they wanted to fill the game because they didn't want to screw Star Ladder over. And then, like you said, Roxkiss obviously wanted to make sure that they had a better chance of winning. They didn't want to play against mostly speed. I don't know.
it's a hard thing.
Yeah,
it's like the hard solution.
Well, they all work together all the time. So, I mean, there's this kind of communication they have and the synergy that they've got going on that almost makes it a little unfair for stand-ins. But, I mean, it happened, and in the end...
Starletter is usually really wishy-washy about, like, these policies they have and stuff, too. Like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
They should have all probably just... They should have just gotten death losses for the rest of the games, I think, is basically what it comes down to. So
next in the docket, D2L.
This one's gonna be short because
I mean, there's not much to say, but AC comes out of the ether once again because he's been missing. Like even like when you message him on Skype, it just he's missing.
He's gone forever.
Really?
He's somewhere. He's here.
He's like he talks to me all the time. I don't know what's up with you guys.
I mean, wasn't he testing the games, or were the games all done until the season finals?
They're all done. It's been gone until then.
Like a month or so?
Yeah, it's been like a month.
But anyway, there was basically LGDCN China was supposed to go to the LAN finals, and then during the speaking between D2L and LGD, there was a miscommunication saying basically that our roster's unstable and we can't come. So D2L went and had Liquid come in because IG wasn't able to play, wasn't available.
They didn't want to.
Yeah, pretty much. So then LGD is basically like, oh, back the truck up. We didn't say that. And it went back and forth, and finally they came to the conclusion it was miscommunication between the LGD people, and they were reinstated, and Liquid got...
I feel so bad for Liquid, man. What the hell? They must
break.
Like they were like a day, and they're like, "Yeah, sweet, we get to go to Vegas and stuff." And then it's like, "Nope, never mind." That sucks so bad.
It's all right. They got to boot camp in Vegas for a month. They got everything out.
Yeah,
of
they. Way. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
I forgot so that
all
they
lost. All they lost out on was a tournament, more or less.
And God, who needs those anyway?
Yeah, they need money.
Every day.
But I don't know. I just feel bad for Liquid, but whatever.
I feel like
it's kind of weird that it seems like a really weird thing to me too. They're like, well, I guess they can't come. And they're like, no, 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 we can. And they're like, all right, whatever.
These miscommunication things seem to be happening quite a bit lately.
Dude, they speak Chinese. Like, shit happens, you know?
That's true,
like,
yeah.
It's really hard to communicate with people that don't speak your language, as we found out in the last couple days. It's so hard ordering food.
Yeah, what's the hardest thing in your everyday?
Well, we basically speak no Korean yet. All we know how to say is, like, hello and thank you, which we don't even say because we're scared. But we went to the soup place yesterday with four people. And we sat down and we were like, okay, we order four bowls, right? Because they had these like pictures and each one was like $6 or something. But each table only has like one hot pot cooker thing. So what she was trying to tell us was you can only have two because there's only two heaters. But we were just like, what? So it was really confusing. And one of the things we ordered, it was like, I don't know, meats and things like that. And on top of it, a slice of American cheese and baked beans. We were like, have we seen this?
What the hell is
this?
Are
we in America? It was weird. It was like hot dogs and sausages and cheese and baked beans. The other one was like super Asian and it was good, but the other one was like, I didn't want those.
So. Well, they have KFC.
They're just trying to
start
pointing to the pictures and it's like,
Yeah, we'll try this one. The picture's really small and everything else is in Korean. So.
Well, they have American restaurants over there as well, correct? Like KFC.
Yeah, we actually saw a Papa John's delivery guy on a little motorcycle yesterday. And some of their pizza is similar. I mean, all the food is really good, honestly. And it's not that different, I don't think. It's all very good. It's still difficult. Like, if you don't speak the language, I'm sure communication problems happen all the time. So,
how much Korean does Will speak? Is he like fluent or?
He says that his Korean is passable, so he seems to have no trouble talking to random Korean people whenever we meet. Maybe he has bad grammar or something, but I heard from his sister that he is picking up new words that he didn't know before. So, and he's really smart, so I'm sure he'll pick up Korean really fast. I'm sure he'll improve a lot while he's here, but he's basically our weak translator for now.
Yeah, that's my other question. Do you guys have anyone else like helping you with managing or translating or anything?
Yeah,
like
we did actually just get one. We had somebody originally sign up and then they backed out, and then we got a second translator now. And his tag is Chobra. I believe he casted League in the past. He's played a lot of Dota. He has like 10,000 followers, so he's fairly well known, I think, within the League community. And he does a couple other things, but he's like fantastic. He did such a good job. We're really happy with him. But he met us in Seoul for our NSL qualifier matches. And then he organized the cab pickups for us as well, I believe. And then we got inside and everything got worked out. And he basically handled like talking to the Korean people and making sure that we were in the right place and like asking simple questions like, when are our matches? What's the format? You know, things like that. And then we went out to eat afterwards. And then he grabbed us cabs to head home. So, yeah, he's just going to help us travel, basically, mostly. And then a little bit of organization stuff.
How far are you from
NSL? He's managing Twitter and like...
Oh, okay, cool.
You know, all the stuff that we can't do while we're playing. So,
cool. How far are you from NSL Studios?
We're in a city called Suji, and I think in the morning when we left, it was like a 40-minute cab ride, but then we came back in rush hour, and it was like an hour and some. So I think in the future, we're going to take buses, which will be more like 1 to 2 hours, but that's only because it's so much cheaper, because we spent like $150 on cabs going there and back because of rush hour, so...
To travel an hour in a cab is not cheap.
Yeah, the way there was only like 60 for two cabs, but the way back it was like 50 a piece per cab. So we're just going to take a bus next time, even though it takes a lot more time. It's just going to be, it'll save us like probably $120 or something.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
How often are you guys going back and forth to the NSL studios?
Just whenever there's matches. We have to go into town tomorrow for an interview with some company. But other than that, we just will go in once a week, I think, to play stage matches. Or twice a week. I don't really know how the format works. Maybe it's twice a week towards the end if we get up further in the winners stuff. I'm not sure.
All right. So how much custom maps did you play back in the day in Warcraft 3, Purge?
A moderate amount. I used to play Brood Warder customs a lot as well. And Warcraft 3 ones.
Do you ever play Helm's Deep?
I have. That was like my favorite. Warcraft 3?
Yep. That shit was sweet.
Played that a few times. I really liked Pokemon. There was like this one version that was really, really sweet. There was a couple of games that I liked a lot in Warcraft 3. I was pretty into Dota in Warcraft 3 as well. That was a good game.
Good custom game.
What game?
Hope they bring that back sometime.
I don't know. I think it's some MOBA. I don't know very much about it.
I heard Riot's making a pretty good game like that.
Oh my god!
It's probably, yeah. It's probably
Blizzard's good. Coming out with one too.
Oh wait. How was the Blizzard MOBA?
Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
I think it was fun to play. I don't really think it's very competitive, but it was fun to play.
Cool.
All right. Well, I haven't watched. I watched like one or two VODs of people that were actually competent at the game playing, and I don't know. It seems okay, but it's like just the skill cap seems very low. Like using your skills is not difficult. I'm sure there's lots of teamwork things that could. I mean, you can make any game into a competitive game, but I don't think it's very deep from what I've played. And I only played like 8 to 10 games. So I played a moderate amount, but not like a huge amount. I would play with my bad friends.
Rather than hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Greg, so I would play so much that
play
I do
Heroes
of
the Storm with me.
But Dota 2, not going to happen. I like my sanity.
He's abandoned us. Apparently he's too good for us in Dota now.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we're true. Pretty bad, so.
What are your guys' MMRs?
I haven't actually played enough ranked games to get an MMR yet.
Sure, I believe you.
Terrified. I swear to God. I will pull up my Dota profile. I'm one game off group, and I'm honestly too scared to play solo ranked.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna say that. You're like, I'm not gonna do that last one because I don't want the world to know.
I don't wanna know myself.
No. I mean, honestly, I have no problem admitting that I am pretty fucking terrible. And as far as like, you know, numbers go or whatever, I honestly couldn't care less. But I'm not sure that I want to put myself through the hell that is going to be the 10 games ranked solo queue at my level.
My solo MMR is like 3,900, so it's not horrible, but my games were okay. Yeah. I was okay with it.
I haven't done it yet. I got TBD.
They're too afraid, man. They're too afraid.
You know, okay. By the end of my winter break here, I will stream my ranked solo matches, the 10 for calibration, and everybody can come flame me and watch me fail.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do that.
That's what Twitch is all about, man.
I think I got
trying
like
to feel
five...
better about yourself.
It doesn't work.
Just embrace the fail.
I got like 5 left on group, and I got like 6 left on solo. And I got 2 wins, 2 losses. And the 2 wins I have were like with signature heroes that I have, like Medusa and shit. I felt great.
I think
Medusa won, yes!
I just like don't play AP in ranked ever, because...
It's not worth it,
it
honestly.
It sucks so hard.
It's not.
People just like wait and wait and wait. And like creeps will spawn and they'll still have not picked their heroes. I'm like, what?
Yeah. It's like, oh, I gotta wait to pick Brood until 5 seconds after everybody bought their items. So there's no sentries or. Just, it's very annoying. Like,
yeah, AP is not fun.
I do it because I'm terrible. I'm not good at a lot of heroes, so.
Yeah. Hopefully they put like some kind of like penalty for picking after zero. Or you just random at zero or something, because it's so stupid.
The solution is just playing the other games, I guess. But
yeah.
If you put them all on, then you almost always get AP, unfortunately.
I don't know. My goal is that my ranked MMR is just a little bit more than Greg's. Is that beautiful? It really
seems,
would.
Seems unlikely.
Unlikely, but hopeful.
I mean, yeah. Like, I love you, Dar, but that's real unlikely.
Yeah.
You can only effectively play Medusa in so many games.
All of them. I'll pull out Clockwork afterwards. Well, now I feel bad. Let's continue the show.
So
how do you, Pudge Wars.
I have a question. How do you guys find scrims in Korea? Like, is Blitz friends with all the other Korean players?
We had a little bit of trouble with that yesterday. But there's Skype groups, or you know people that know people. We don't really have somebody that organizes scrims for us. In normal Korean team house settings, they do have that. You'll have one guy that sets up matches, like dates, to defeat your opponents. But we don't really have one something like that. But we'll get into it. We've only been playing here for like 3 days or something. So, and we also found out we all woke up and were like ready to play, and it was like 6 p.m. And then we found out that nobody in Korea plays at 6 p.m. They only play like 9 p.m. to like 3 a.m. here, which is currently when we're sleeping, because our sleep schedules are slightly shifted earlier than that. So, and IXDL as well. Nobody is on the Korean IXDL throughout the day. Absolutely nobody. But as soon as it gets to like 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., they're all on. So when we wake up in the morning, there's IXDLs, but they only play like one or two matches and they all go to sleep. So we miss all the good stuff here. It's too bad.
Is it hard to keep contact with your family and friends back home right now, or... Because of the time zone difference?
It's not bad, actually. I don't know. I haven't seen that much of an issue. I think East Coast is 2 hours before me, but you swap AM PM. So for now, it is like 10:30 PM, right?
9:30.
No, sorry,
9:30. East Coast 9:30.
Yeah. So it's like 9:30 PM East Coast. So basically, if I wake up in the morning at a reasonable time, there's still like 6 hours of nighttime before people my age go to sleep. So it's fine.
It's not bad.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, basically, everybody in Korea is just nocturnal when it comes to Dota.
Apparently, yeah.
So I think that's the same for US too. I mean, my buddy list is usually hopping in the evening as well. Mm-hmm. I come out at like 11 a.m. and it's like two people on.
Yeah, but the scrim scene, competitive scrim scene is way different because all the teams play to like the Euro schedule. So
yeah, in North America, you have to play mornings to afternoons, so between like noon and 3 p.m. Pacific time or something like that is when my last team would play. Euros play nighttime as well. So
it's actually a good segue. The IXDL.
Speaking have you of been
reading? It actually is. Have you been reading about the item fraud that's been going on?
I heard about that, and I want to get in on it.
I think you could do it.
From what we understand, it's the SEA admins that are pulling the shit, so you're in the right place.
Okay. Oh. I'm so ready. I'm going to make some Steam dollars. I didn't get enough from TI3.
Oh, my God.
I should have made a ton. I sold, like, a Smeevil for $140. It was amazing. That funded my entire holiday vacation game buying for the sales. Nice. It was amazing.
And what did I sold? I sold one of my extra couriers and bought what game did I buy? DayZ, I think. It was definitely worth it. DayZ is sweet, but why don't you explain, Dar, what people are doing?
All right, so basically, there's like about 5 admin tickets for the SEA, and they're all hanging out and making unlisted games and then getting the items and transfer them to other Steam accounts, if I'm reading this correctly. Am I correct?
That's
and so basically, so it was like hundreds of items that's like all heroic and tournament drops that no one else is winning except the 5 people that have the actual tickets. And they're right now, I think they're just sitting in accounts, but soon to be.
Dude, if I was reading or something, like, if they dump all the items they've gotten, they're going to, like, crash the market of all the tournament items because they've gotten, like, such a ridiculous amount of items.
There's so many.
Too much hats.
I was reading the thread, and I think the best part of it was when the SEA admin actually came in and was like, no, guys, like, this is legit, we promise. And everybody was just like, you're full of shit.
Downvote button, click.
Apparently, because he posted a, the SEA admin posted like a snapshot of a forum post that he made saying like, hey, we want to be able to give the winners of whatever the match is some item drops. So we're going to change the settings or I don't know, fucking something. So if somebody can like donate, like if somebody's like willing to donate items so that we can give the winners of the game items too, like that'd be great. And then the next guy down said, yeah, but what you didn't show is that, like, just a little further down on the forum page, you, like, asked heavily / demanded that everybody who bought an IXDL ticket donate 15 items so that you could give them to the winning teams, which are now sitting in, like, the unmarked Steam accounts.
Nobody wants that many items. There's only so many inventory slots. And I'm sure
you
a lot
can
of
only
them just
put one item at a time on your... on your thing.
I'm pretty sure going to be seeing those wiped off the face of God's green earth.
Really someone's going to get the ban hammer. Probably what's going
to
happen. But.
Oh, yeah.
Time to wipe some inventories.
But, all right. Now, do you have any other big topics we want to talk about? Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We have one more. And it's by this gentleman named LD.
LD. You know that guy, Kevin?
Everyone? I've heard of him, yeah.
He's an okay guy. Not bad.
Not great. Not bad.
Not great. Not bad. What do you think? And this is actually for you guys more because I joined Dota in March 2012.
Oh my God.
So you'd probably know about this a lot better than I do. And I actually joined Dota and went straight to this guy. Oh, wait a minute. Look at the stream.
Don't hurt yourself.
No, I already hurt myself. There we go. This guy to actually find out how to play Dota. And thanks to him, I'm barely even passable. But no fault in
congratulations, Kevin. You've created a barely competent Dota player.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's the goal, right? You want to get enough people to play so that you can beat them, but not good enough that they pose a real threat.
Kevin has this book of just like tactics. He just leaves on the sidelines. They never shows anybody. He teaches all the other stuff. That's how it works. Yeah.
I'm making secret strats up here.
Promise. But no. So you've been playing a lot longer, I know, Purge and what has happened. What do you have any idea what the biggest balance change in the history of Dota? Like the biggest one that's ever happened? Any ideas?
I would just say I don't think it's necessarily the biggest, but one of the best ones for the competitive scene was Smoke, I think. Because previous to that, you would just put wards on each rune spot, and then it was almost impossible to gank the mid-heroes. So it would just be like Shadow Fiend versus whatever, and he would just sit there and farm. So Smoke really made the game a lot more fun to watch in the early games.
All right, well, since you took mine, I will say when Aegis started dropping from Rosh.
Why'd you read that from the top comment? Do you even...
That's not even the top comment on this thread. The top comment is, what is it? TP is taking longer. For mass TPing? No, I think...
No, it was Blink Dagger.
Well, no, that was LDS.
That was top comment, though, wasn't it?
But the good news is that you can still sell cheese. So... But, you used to be able to purchase Aegis, and, I don't know. What does Rosh do? It's not nearly as exciting. Now he's exciting.
He gives blue buff, right?
God damn it.
That was green buff. Wait, no, it's purple, technically.
I can't keep them all straight. I'm just mediocre.
If you mix them, it becomes purple buff, right?
Mason, you have an idea?
That's what chemistry taught me. I've only been around Dota probably... Well, shit, less than you have. But, out of the things that I sort of know about, I would say that buyback cooldown was pretty important, just for the fact that you couldn't have ridiculously hard farming carries, like... 45 plus minutes into a game, just sitting on enough gold to buy back three times if necessary.
Mm-hmm. That happened in Match, didn't it?
Yeah, there was some. It was in Dota 1. I mean, granted, it was before I was playing Dota, but a Storm Spirit had enough buyback for like three of them and ended up with an Ultra Kill off of it and like winning the game.
Jesus.
Or.
That sounds hilarious.
Or ZSMJ sitting on a stupidly farmed Medusa who could buy back three or four times just because he had so much gold.
God bless him.
All right, well, we're going to take a couple questions from the chat for the last 15 minutes or so.
We're brave enough to do that.
God help us.
Well, we get to filter them. That's the good news.
Shout-outs to my brother who's been flaming me for this entire episode.
All right, this one is close to my heart. Purge and you guys, what is your favorite beer? Not a strictly Dota-related question, but I like this one.
All right,
Kevin, you can go first.
I don't really have a specific beer that I like the best, but my favorite company is called New Glarus, and they're in Wisconsin, and I will never have them here.
I've had that before. It is very good. I had a weird one. It was like rhubarb or something. I don't know. I had a really weird one. So that was good.
They have a bunch of really, really good beers. I like them a lot. I like their branding. I like them as a company. They're amazing. You have to go to Wisconsin to get them, though.
Greg, what's your favorite beer?
Scotch.
Besides Scotch, probably Heady Topper. It's my favorite beer. It's a Vermont beer.
Mason.
I'm under 21. I can't drink beer.
Oh my god.
If you were to drink beer, if you were legally of age,
if I were allowed, Peroni. It's good.
Is this how your organization runs? Child labor?
Yeah, you
know. Pretty much.
Pretty much. He's made me do so many illegal things. Ashamed. I see a psychiatrist bi-weekly. It's really... I can't get the Peter figurine out of my head.
I can't stand the taste of beer, though I'm trying.
Oh, my God. Why do I run a show with you guys? One of you can't drink beer and the other you don't like it. Damn it.
I try.
Because we're the only ones who will give you free labor.
Really, it is. If he found, like, two other people that would do this, he'd throw us out in a heartbeat. Not even lying. Not even joking. Help us. So I drink Jack Daniels. That's what I drink. I go for the hard stuff. Vodka, Jack Daniels. Not a fan of gin, but...
All right, we're going to move to Dota questions now. That's our off-topic question. And one of the good ones is, what can fans do to support Team Zephyr?
When we finish our branding and stuff, we'll probably sell t-shirts or hoodies, very likely through Team Liquid. So save your money. Other than that, you guys can follow us on our Twitter channel, which is twitter.com/ZephyrDota. Other than that, you can watch all of us when we stream on Twitch. Again, everybody will be streaming. So I think that's pretty much everything. Like, we don't really need donations or anything. I mean, I'm sure we'll all have sub buttons. So if you could want to sub to us individually, maybe we'll have a team sub button. I don't know how that works, but just save your cash until we have something done. But eventually we will have a way for you guys to support us. And we, of course, appreciate it.
I'm gonna take Fiery X Joe's question out of here, if that's okay, because it's been reposted quite a few times. Does Team Zephyr have any expectations of competing outside of Korea, sort of when your time is up there? Like, are you shooting for TI4, TI5, or are you just sort of there right now and we'll see what happens?
Our peak goal would be TI4 qualifiers. Is that what we're on next? Is that what's next? TI4, yeah. I think if we do really well in Korea until what, March or May or whatever, I think there's a good chance that we could play in a qualifier, and I don't necessarily know if we'll win, but just playing in it would be fun, I think. So that's our biggest goal, not necessarily expecting to play in or even get close to winning TI, but I mean, just getting close would be kind of fun. We do plan to play outside of Korea if possible. We would like to play in some C tournaments because we think we have some potential to win or do really well in those, honestly. So I guess that's something that we will look forward to. Yeah. Those will just be online though. I don't think we'll probably travel to any lands. We might, who knows, but I'm not sure.
All right. Favorite hero and why?
I really like teamfight heroes. So like Tide or Enigma are my favorite usually, but I'm really starting to like Crystal Maiden a lot. Cause I play her almost every single time that we scrim. And she's really versatile. She has a really good early game and pretty good mid game as well, too. So,
all right, we've got a question from Literus. Do you see yourself growing as a player, a lot as a player, while in Korea? If you had to choose one thing pro players do better than you, what would it be?
Yeah, I will grow a lot, guaranteed. Replay watching and things like that impact things a lot. So I'm sure while I do that, it's going to increase my personal skill. Plus, my team is really constructive with mistakes, so it's not that hard to change yourself a bit or to get better that way. In terms of the second part of the question, one thing a pro does better than me, probably their decision making is better. It's a really broad answer. Like, it's not a simple solution. Their decision making is better, essentially. So they're more likely to clutch out plays, or they're less likely to forget certain skills, or things like that. It's a very broad question. Like, my mechanics are fairly up there. They're not top tier by any means, but mechanics aren't as important if you play support. So yeah. At this point, it's just my decision making is like moderately to way behind an actual pro player, basically. So
we know that, you know, Blitz's signature hero is Storm Spirit. Would you be able to give a signature hero for the rest of you four?
We're kind of just picking within the meta right now. Other than Storm Spirit, we don't really pick anything that's too unusual that isn't already in the meta. We have some basic counters that we employ at various times, but like, we pick the staple supports that everybody does, like Crystal Maiden and Visage and things like that. And we pick Storm sometimes, and we pick popular carries sometimes, and nothing is really that peculiar with our picks, I don't think. Yeah. Nothing really stands out in my mind. Sorry. Just think of us as Storm Spirit, I guess.
Can do.
I like this question. In 5 years from now, where do you see the Dota 2 Pro scene?
Dota 2 Pro scene in 5 years. I think it'll exist in 5 years. I wouldn't bet a ton of money on that, but I think there's a really good chance of the Dota 2 Pro scene being around in 5 years. I guess TIs will still be continuing. By that point, inflation is going to, like, I mean, their tournament just gets cheaper and cheaper, you know, like as time goes on. So it won't really cut into Valve very much. So other than that, I expect maybe to be more, I don't know, more organization for like players, maybe like union kind of things. I might be a little overreaching or over assuming on that, but don't know. I'm not really sure. It's kind of a that's a hard question. It's going to be a lot more players and a lot more stability, I think.
Do you think Dota 2 can beat League of Legends in terms of viewers, like, on average? We're not talking about TI 4s or whatever.
I think it can, but number one, I don't think it has to be successful. And number two, I think it's not likely. I think LoL is always going to be a larger spectator game. I think Dota is a better spectator game, but League of Legends is better for players who are less tryhard, which is almost always going to be more popular, or those games will always be more popular. It's kind of, think about like the shittiest movies that come out that like somehow get pushed through and are horrible, and they still make money. And it's the same thing. Like the popular thing is usually the one that appeals to the largest amount of people, basically.
All right, fair enough. I guess we could do some shout-outs.
Yeah.
Kevin, what are your shout-outs?
Shout-out to my team, Team Zephyr. Again, you guys can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Zephyr Dota, and you can follow me individually on Facebook or Twitter at Purge Gamers. Also, I just started selling a brand new shirt at Team Liquid. It is the Medic Bear. Thank you, Aosin. And you can buy that for $20 and or 16 euros, 17 euros. And it looks really nice. It's at Team Liquid. So go buy that.
It's a sweet shirt. So
I think that's all I want for shout-outs, I think. Yeah, make sure you guys watch us when we start streaming. We'll start streaming soon, I think. I streamed yesterday, but I'm not sure if I will today. But I'm sure everybody else will start streaming soon. So,
Greg, do you have any shout-outs?
Shout-out Cyberpower PC. It's a sponsor for WhatIsHip.TV. And shout-out to Ryubor OZ for beating Speed yesterday.
Mason.
Shout-out to everybody who watches our show every week. As always, it's always great to have you guys here, especially in such full force this week, with a special shout-out to Knights, the super viewer, who's been playing on stream with us recently. It's been a good time. Shout-out to Cyberpower PC for being a great sponsor. And thank you, Purge, for coming.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this for a while. I've been trying to get Greg to do it for, like, ever, but he hasn't.
Has to be a, you know, what better reason than Korea? You know?
That's true. Shout-outs from me. I'm going to give a shout-out to Coddle Guy, because last couple nights I've been up way too late, and I've been watching Star Gaming League, because I've been bored crapless at, like, 3 a.m. It's been pretty entertaining, so shout-out to him, because I don't think he gets enough love just yet. But he will. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter at WhatIsHipTV, at WehDota, W-E-H, Dota, Darieth, at Darieth, and obviously Purge Gamers for like the two people in chat that may not be following Purge. And we want to thank you all for coming out. We're pretty excited. Hopefully this next year will be pretty awesome for us and continue gaining steam and getting people on. And Purge, was awesome to have you on. I've been a big fan for a while, as many people have been.
And the one thing I just noticed, my other shout out is the bottom of this mug has the shitty wizard on it, which is pretty awesome. But thanks for joining us, guys. This will also be posted in audio only format if you fancy that, and it's available for a podcast subscription on iTunes and also on our YouTube after the fact. But thanks for joining us, and yeah, hope you guys have a nice night.
Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.